Committee, we will not be hearing House Bill 2544 today. We're still working on some amendments, and long as delay hearing that bill, so we have but one, and that one will be a little bit of a challenge. House Bill 2356. We'll open the work session on House Bill 2356, and I'll ask B.J. Smith and Art Schlack to come forward, please. Sam, you want to give us a quick Reader's Digest review?
Yes, Mr. Chairman, members of the Commission. There was a committee, there was a, this was heard on January 26th, and there were some issues that were raised with that, with the original measure as it was presented, that required a work group that was formed. Members are present. They have returned back with some proposed amendment language for consideration for the bill. This bill real briefly deals with a court case that came out of Clackamas County, where it was found by, I think, the Court of Appeals that the county surveyor signing off on a plat became a land use decision, and what that's done is that's contrary to the press law, how the land use process was never intended to be a land use decision. That court case created a whole new category of land use decisions. This particular piece of bill would move that from consideration of a land use decision and return it back to the way it had historically been practiced. And I think I'll leave the panel to discuss the amendments.
Okay, and I apologize to Representative Escobar. This is his bill. So good afternoon, Representative.
How are you, Representative George?
I'm fine, thank you.
Mr. Chair, members of the panel, this is basically from the work group that was established on 2356.
Representative, can you move that microphone a little closer to you?
Thank you. This is, these amendments that are forth are from a work group that was established on 2356, which we had heard prior to this date. The amendment responds to an issue raised by the Court of Appeals decision in Hammer versus Clackamas County. It makes clarifications to law to avoid the application of that reasoning to future situations. Specifically, the amendment clarifies that the opportunity to appeal a land use or limited land use decision first occurs after the decision is made by the local government to apply its comprehensive plans and standards to the proposed partition or subdivision plan, and two, does not occur at the point of time in which there is a public official's final approval for purposes of recordation or an acceptance of the final plat document. The proposed amendment revises two statutes, the land use definitions in ORS 197 and the subdivision and partitions process in ORS Chapter 92. To achieve the two clarifications, we propose to refine the statutory distinctions between the two actions that would occur when processing a subdivision or a partition. I have to go to another meeting, so I will turn this over to these capable people unless you have some questions of me.
The amendment has your approval?
Yes, it does.
Thank you, Representative.
Thanks. Have a good one.
We'll let ladies go first.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, members of the committee. I am B.J. Smith. I'm the Public and Government Relations Director for Clackamas County. And I'm just going to add a little bit to go over the proposed amendment that you have in front of you, which is the Dash 1 amendments. In the first place, for the two purposes that Representative Escobar spoke about, first place that I would point you to is actually on page 6 in lines 22 and 23. And this is there in ORS 197.01512. We clarified the definition of a limited land use decision. It would become, what we are saying is that it would be a limited land use decision concerns the approval or denial of a tentative subdivision or partition plan. The words tentative plan are referenced in other places in Chapter 92 to mean the original submittal to which the land use standards and the comprehensive plan is applied. disapproval or denial of that document is a substantive action, and there should be notice and opportunity to appeal this action.
Excuse me, sir.
Representative Greenwich.
I'm just a little lost, so can I get caught up with this game? You're talking about page 6 of the amendment?
Yes.
And the amendments basically, you read everything in the amendments now, if you come to the bill. And is it the same up to page 6 as it was in the old version?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Greenwich, it is not exactly the same. I think the easiest way for us to explain this to you is to take the two purposes that we wanted to achieve, and then what has happened is that the Legislative Council has made some changes in form and style that were not particularly requested by us, but they reorganized the chapter to some extent. But the meaning is pretty much the same in that reorganization. So I'm going to try to go to just the two places where we have the substantive changes, and then we'll talk a little bit about that reorganization.
Thank you.
Is it? Okay.
I'm with you now.
Okay. I'm sorry about that. So this is the substantive review that happens for the land use. We get the notice and the opportunity to appeal. And that's the way the process was worked in the past, and we maintain that process, but we've just added a couple of words to clarify. The other change that Representative Esquivel talked about is in page 3, and it is on lines 26 through 30. And this is a change to the chapter that has to do with the approval of subdivisions and partitions. And we added a new section here. We added ORS 92.100, subsection 6. This new subsection recognizes that there are actions taken by surveyors, assessors, and city or county governing bodies that do not fit into the definition of a limited land use decision or land use decision. And those are actions that they do not apply zoning and land use regulations. That new subsection states that it is not a land use or limited land use decision if the action is the approval or failure to approve a final subdivision or partition plat. Those are the sign-offs that are the last step before the newly created lots can be sold. This is the language that's intended to avoid the surprising outcome that was discussed in the Hamler versus Clackamas County case. It's clarifying that that step would occur without any required notice or the opportunity to appeal the action. That you only get that opportunity when you have a land use or a limited land use decision, which is the earlier step. This last step here is generally ministerial. It's the recordation and the final assessor's action to accept the final plat, and it verifies. We also verify at that point whether or not any previously required conditions have been met. So those are the two substantive places where we came together as a work group to change. Any questions on that before I...
BJ, who in LC worked with you and Art on this?
Mr. Chairman, Harrison Conley. With us on this.
Sam, would you see if you can call and get Harrison down here? Hey, Art.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, Art Slack with the Association of Oregon Counties, and it was my privilege to help facilitate a group of people to come together and support the Dash 1 amendments that you have before you. You'll notice on the last page of the amendments that we have added an emergency clause to this legislation. And the purpose of that is, as you know, notice is now required to be given, and the opportunity for an additional appeal is because of the Clackamas versus Hamler versus Clackamas case, and that has never been the case up until the Court of Appeals made this decision. This takes additional time and additional costs, and so assuming the legislature passes this piece of legislation and the governor signs it, the emergency clause would allow it to become effective immediately rather than waiting 90 days after the end of session. And we think that's extremely important. One other thing I would note is that the Dash 1 amendments restores the authority for cities and county ordinances to add to what's in statute. That was removed with the original draft of House Bill 2356, and that's been restored. What we tried to do is go back to the original statutes as much as possible at this point, except for the editing that was done by legislative council, which you will primarily find in the first about 2.5 pages, where they reordered things like the fees that are collected. They took it out of one section, and I can point that to you if you'd like. They removed it on page 2, lines 12 through, in section 2, lines 12 through 15, and then if you turn the page over on page 3, then they basically put those, the fee structure and the ability back into the statute in a different place. And that was part of the editing at this point. We found a number of challenges in looking at trying to come up with this fix to the Hammer case, partly because Chapter 92 has been around for a long time, and it's been amended maybe almost every session at this point that we've been, you know, since it's been in the statutes. And as a result, it gets a little bit convoluted. At some point, there probably needs to be a interim work group to sit down and redraft Chapter 92, but that was not our task, and I would only indicate it would take a lot longer than what we've had in order to do this. And we spent countless hours just getting consensus here. With regard to the consensus that you have, I provided you a copy of a memorandum to Representative Esquivel that requests additional names when the bill is reprinted, and we've requested that the Association of Oregon Counties, League of Oregon Cities, Clackamas County, the Oregon Home Builders Association, Oregon Association of Realtors, the Professional Land Surveyors of Oregon, and the Oregon Association of County Engineers and Surveyors, names be added as requesters on the bill. And I mentioned this to you, Mr. Chair, and members of the committee, to demonstrate that there is overall support for the approach here and the language that we've worked on in developing the response to the Hammer versus Clackamas County case. Mr. Chair, if I might just ask one more thing. As I indicated, working on the language was extremely important to us in coming up with something that everybody agreed to. On page 3, sub 7 at the bottom of the page, it says, approval or denial of a final subdivision partition, subdivision or partition plat. The surveyor or the assessor or anybody else at this point who's looking at a final plat approves or fails to approve, does not deny. Deny is indicates a final action, and what the surveyor does is he holds the final plat. He fails to approve it until corrections are made so that then he can go ahead and approve it. And so he doesn't. The use of the word denial is something that we feel is not appropriate in this instance. So we would respectfully request that Mr. Chair and members of the committee a conceptual amendment that would strike in line 26 after approval or strike denial of and insert failure to approve a final subdivision. You might think we're quibbling over something that's quite small, but I can assure you that this is an extremely important point here. that we're bringing to you for your consideration at this point. And with that, Mr. Chair, if we're able to do that, we would urge the committee to support the Bashbourne amendments and to move House Bill 2356 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Ms. Smith, Mr. Stock, you both would be congratulated for collaborating and finding universal agreement on what had been a controversial judicial decision. So we thank you for your efforts. Harrison, could I ask you to come up? Because the committee has been asked to make a conceptual amendment to the amendment, to the Bashbourne. And I haven't done one of these before, so. Harrison, would you like us to stand at ease for a couple of moments so that you could get caught up? I just want to make sure we're on board with the conceptual amendments and that legal counsel is okay with it.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, Harrison Conley from Deputy Legislative Counsel. Mr. Schlapp and I had talked about the word failure there, and my concern with the word failure was relatively, it had to do with sort of connotation. Failure to approve strikes me as a flaw or a fault in the surveyor that they have failed in some way to do their job. So it's just about the connotation of failure there. It struck me that we either approve or we deny a plat. If you prefer the word failure in that context, I'm here to do your bidding.
Okay.
I guess I would mention, though, and I just asked BJ sort of off the record, if the same thing would apply to the amendments in 197.015, where we talk about a limited land use decision, and those words also are approved or denied.
That's on page six,
yes.
Line 32. We have the same instance there.
Mr. Chair?
Yes.
This is the crux of this piece of legislation. The difference between a tentative subdivision and a partition plan, which goes to hearing before a planning commission or a hearings officer, or in some instances it may be administratively acted upon, but that is where you apply the standards, the goals, the policies of the comprehensive plan, the standards from your ordinances that may deal with transportation, they may deal with, you know, establish the lot sizes, all of these things. And that is what is a land use decision. And at that point, that's where you can, the Planning Commission has the option to approve it or to deny it or to approve it with conditions. The final plat is where you have already had an approval and a list of conditions, and all you're doing is just checking the final work to see that it complies. And there is instances in that review by the surveyor where he finds an error, and he will call the surveyor that has presented him with the plat and say, we need these corrections, and then we'll move forward. So this is the crux of this whole thing.
Failure to approve just means, hang on, I found a mistake, that we got it set up. Whereas denial says, no.
That's right. It says no, and you got to start over again.
Okay.
The words.
Now, just a second.
I'm sorry, sir.
Does that also apply to page 6 and line 24, where you have the same verbal term?
No, it does not, Mr. Chair, because that is where the option is to approve or to deny based on the preliminary submittal at that point.
Just wanted to make a representative agreement.
I was just wondering whether the words approve or withhold approval might make the council more.
That's okay too.
Might make the council more
comfortable. That would get the same.
It sounds like a very good compromise to insert the word withhold approval. Thank you, Representative Greenley, for a constructive comment. Okay. Any questions from the committee? Representative Greenman.
Harrison, I'd like to ask you a question that isn't necessarily related to this, but in this bill, we say if you do something, that's not a land use decision. Are there some limits on what we could say that's not a land use decision in a statute? I mean, can we say downzoning is not a land use decision?
Mr. Chair, Representative Greenlick, yes, you have, it is within the legislature's purview to define land use decision and limited land use decision and to put whatever you choose in those definitions. There certainly, there might be some limits in terms of what makes sense, but you can, certainly you can do that as well.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You may want to think about that as we think about Measure 37.
So we, at this point, we're adding on the conceptual amendment. We will be adding, deleting the words denial of and replacing with withholding approval. Is that correct? And that would be acceptable, Harrison?
Mr. Chair, for parallelism, maybe I think in this case we could do approving or failing to approve a final subdivision or partition plat is not a land use. Yeah, I'd like to parallel, make those gerunds, I guess, approving or withholding approval.
Withholding approval.
Approving or withholding approval.
That's what was suggested. Okay. Committee, let's stand at ease for a couple of minutes and we'll let the three folks here get exactly what kind of wording they want us to do the conceptual amendment on. So we'll stand at ease until you're ready with that.
That in line 26 on page 3, we remove the words approval or denial. And in their place, we substitute approving or withholding approval.
Okay, make sure I have everything on page 3, sub 7, line 26 is changed. Approval. The words approval or denial will be deleted and replaced with approving or withholding approval or approving? Approval.
Approval, yes. You said it correctly. Approving or withholding approval.
Page 3, line 26.
Okay.
That's what I got.
Okay, approving or withholding approval.
If you're trying to be parallel, you might want to consider granting approval or withholding approval.
That's fine too.
That's a very good. Okay. Page 3, sub 7, line 26. The conceptual amendment would be deleting the words approval or denial and substituting and replacing with the words granting approval, granting approving, or granting approval or withholding approval.
Yes, Mr. Chair, that is correct.
Ah, yes. Ms. Smith, that's all right with you?
Perfectly fine.
And Mr. Stott?
Yes.
And Sal's not here, very so good. He didn't get sick. Okay. Mr. Administrator, I guess the first thing we need to do is approve the Dash 1 amendment.
That's correct.
Representative
Ackerman, I can ask a question.
Representative Ackerman.
Yes, Council, looking at, again, paragraph 7 of page 3, line 26, if we do not make this a land use decision, limited or otherwise, is there a likelihood that under the Administrative Procedures Act, where sometimes they appeal directly to circuit court for uncontested case decisions, that this could be interpreted as that means of appeal?
Mr. Chair, Representative Ackerman, would you repeat the question? I didn't quite follow that.
Okay. Under the Administrative Procedures Act, a non-contested case, there's sometimes an appeal from administrative action to circuit court. And I want to make sure that we're not creating that vehicle in with this with these amendments.
Mr. Chair, Representative Ackerman, I guess I'm going to have to say that I'm not familiar enough with the uncontested case procedures to know whether that is the effect we're creating here.
Okay. I don't want to throw a monkey wrench in it.
No, that's it.
I'll make sure that
let's get it right.
We're intending that this is not one thing. We shouldn't make it something else that we don't anticipate. I don't want to take a lot of time with this.
That's all right.
Maybe we should.
What is your suggestion?
I didn't think about this until I started reading this right now and we started going through it. That may be creating another vehicle, but it might be worth counsel's look. Unless there's something else in the Act that's more exclusive that says which is triggering the appeal to LUBA.
Chris Crane is also here. I'll ask him to come up.
Oh, you got a volunteer. I think it was great.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, thank you. My name is Chris Crane. I'm a land use practitioner for the last 10 years. I chair the Oregon State Bar's Committee on Land Use Legislation. We've been tracking this legislation. I've been working on this since the Hammer decision came down. Representative Ackerman, your question goes to the question of judicial review. There is no local government action that is free from judicial review. Local governments are not bodies in and of themselves. Every decision of local government is reviewable in some fashion, in some way. Land use decisions are reviewed by LUBA. If you say something is not a land use decision, then it goes to, generally it goes to circuit court on whatever review. So in this case, if somebody were objected to a surveyor's approval of a final plat for some reason, they would seek review of that approval in the circuit court. So that's judicial review of these final plat approval. Currently, after the Hammer decision, it goes to LUBA. As a result of this bill, judicial review of final plat approval would go to circuit court. There's one other aspect of this that I feel compelled to mention, and that is when a final plat comes into a city or county to determine whether or not the final plat is consistent with what was approved as part of a tentative plat, there are very often a number of conditions that are placed on the tentative plat, and the county and city or county staff will look at the final plat and make sure it complies with the conditions of approval. That's a discretionary review that applies land use criteria. Under the definition of a land use decision in 197.015, that looks a lot like what the planning staff is doing, looks a lot like a land use decision. There are sometimes very controversial land use decisions around the state, and opponents looking for any angle may now seek review of that final plat approval by the planning staff at LUBA, and this bill doesn't address that. So this bill will take the surveyors, the assessors, and other folks out of the land use arena, send review of their decision to circuit court, but what the planning staff does with the final plat is still subject to review at LUBA. I hope that's clear.
Mr. Chair, if I could, certainly I agree with what Chris says that local government actions are generally reviewable under the review process. But I understood the question to be whether or not there was some sort of an administrative hearing process that would be triggered in this case, which I took to, you know, the question became, I guess I heard it as whether or not the person seeking subdivision or a partition might appeal through an administrative process, a surveyor's decision on the partition. And that answer, I'm not quite clear whether we've created a situation that would create a right to an administrative hearing, but Chris certainly right that generally speaking, local government decisions are going to be reviewed by your review.
Well, let me ask one follow-up question.
Wow.
Just standing alone, if these the surveyor's work here is not going to be a land use decision, does that factor become incorporated within the larger scheme of things so that it would go ultimately to LUBA, that is, if we were involving it? How do you review these standing alone? What's the method of reviewing the subdivision or partition? that the county surveyor creates here. Is there any...
And as I was saying, it was not clear to me whether we've created a situation that would require an administrative hearing prior to someone seeking review by the circuit court.
Okay, I'm satisfied with that. I think what you're saying is not a process that leads to an administrative decision that could be appealed someplace else except to be part of the land use process.
Well, it is not. I think by this statement we are taking it out of the land use process and out of LUBA's jurisdiction.
Okay. All right. I'm satisfied with that.
So we're all right with the corrected wording? There's an old rule, never get involved when three attorneys are discussing something. So, Art, BJ, you're okay at this point with the words granting approval or withholding approval?
Yes.
And Chris, that, and I appreciate your input in all of this, but that would appear to do what we want to do with this bill. Okay, thank you very much. Okay. The chair would look for a motion to accept the -1 amendments to House Bill 2356.
Do you want a formal motion for that conceptual thing first, or do you want the whole?
I think we have to accept the amendment before we can amend the amendment.
Amend the amendment. Mr. Chair, I move we adopt the -1 amendments to House Bill 2356.
Representative Greenwich moves that we accept the -1 amendments to House Bill 2356. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Anderson?
Aye.
Greenwich?
Aye.
Nolan?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Schiffler?
Chair votes aye.
The -1 amendments are moved to House Bill 2356. Now we will accept a motion, if you're up to this, Representative Greenwich.
I am, Mr. Chair.
To do a conceptual amendment to the -1.
I move we amend the -1 amendments to House Bill 2356 by deleting on line 26, page 3, the words or denial, and inserting between the numeral 7 and the first word, granting approval or withholding. It would then read granting approval or withholding approval of a final.
Got it.
Okay, Representative Greenwich
has proposed a conceptual amendment let me go back here, page 3, sub 7, line 26. And I've still got the old way written down here. So would you repeat?
Right. Deleting the words or denial and inserting between the numeral 7 and the first word, granting approval or withholding.
So any further discussion? Representative Smith.
Are you leaving the first word approval in?
Yes, yes. It now becomes the last word.
Yeah, so it's now granting approval or withholding approval. Are they?
Okay, thank you.
Any further discussion on the conceptual amendment? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Greenwich?
Aye.
Nolan?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Schiffler?
The conceptual amendment to the -1 amendment on House Bill 2356 is accepted. And now the chair will take a motion on House Bill 2356 as amended.
Mr. Chair, I move we move House Bill 2356-1 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Representative Greenwich has moved House Bill 2356 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Seeing none, the clerk will call the roll.
Ackerman?
Aye.
Greenwich?
Aye.
Nolan?
Aye.
Smith?
Aye.
Sumner?
Aye.
Chair
votes aye.
And House Bill 2356 as amended is moved to the House with a due pass recommendation, and Representative Escobar will be the carrier. The committee, seeing no further business before the committee, we will be adjourned.